Welcome back. 1221 at 1260 WRC. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. And it's Dr. Ben Carson time, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Ben Carson, professor emeritus of neurosurgery at Johns Hopkins University and a columnist here at the Washington Times. If you pick up a copy of today's Washington Times, you'll find insidious effects of political correctness. Speech taboos are meant to silence patriotic dissent. Dr. Ben, how are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
In your high school days, you start your column by saying, well, you were sort of a rebellious guy. You were acting cool, wearing leisure suits like me, I guess. I don't know.
Well, you know, I didn't start out high school that way. I actually started out as a very good student, straight-A student, focused on, getting my education done right. And then I got caught up in the peer pressure stuff, and they started redefining for me what was important. Now, obviously, it really wasn't important. It was important to them.
Yeah.
And it certainly was not important to my future.
Right. And your grades suffered as a result.
Yeah, my grades plummeted. But I didn't really even care. You know, you just want to be cool. You just want to be in with the in crowd. And, you know, let everything else take care of itself.
Yeah. How did Mom feel about that?
She was devastated.
I'll bet.
And she was so certain that I was going to be different, that I had insight into what was going on, that I knew that that lifestyle was not going to lead anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And there I was, you know, acting like one of the flies, getting caught in the fly paper. You know, I just,
Hey,
that's what everybody else is doing. I'm going over there, too.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, so then you being much smarter, you left the in crowd, and they didn't like it, did they?
No, they were, it's sort of an insult to them when you leave them. It's saying that, you know, their way of life, their system, their thinking is aberrant in some way. And, so I was the object of significant scorn, at least for a while. I continued to ignore them. And then particularly as I excelled in ROTC, they said, well, okay. And they moved on. And that was good.
Yeah. Political correctness operates the same way, doesn't it?
It really does. It kind of constrains everyone. It says, you know, you have to speak this way, or you have to act this way, or you have to condone this. And if you don't, you know, then you're the object of scorn and derision. You're evil, demonic, you know, they just go on and on. Because, again, it is saying that their way of thinking, their ideology is not correct.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't like that.
Yeah.
You know, and what we need to understand in this country is that you're never going to have unanimity of thought and unanimity of speech, nor should that ever be our goal. You know, we are supposedly a free nation. People came here from the shores of many other places so that they could say what they wanted to say and do what they wanted to do and live the way they wanted to live, as long as it wasn't deleterious to anyone else. Those are principles that we need to foster, because as soon as you start getting into a place where you say, this is what you must think, this is how you must speak, we're moving toward fascism. And that's, unfortunately, a pattern that I'm seeing right now. And we have to stand up for it. We have to stand up for what we believe.
Yeah.
And if you don't stand up for it, then the secular progressives win by default, because you keep silent and you just go along to get along, and they continue their ways of changing the fabric and the structure of the nation.
You were pummeled by these people when you dared to say Obamacare is the worst thing to occur in our country since slavery. Instead, they should have thought about the true meaning of what you said.
Exactly. The point being that we have just fundamentally transferred an enormous amount of power and independence from the people to the government. The very thing that the founders of this nation were afraid of. And we've just done it. And most people are just merrily going along, have no clue what is going on and what that means. It's one of the reasons that Alinsky and some of these people so vehemently said, you've got to get control of health care. The government must control health care. It's the only way to make the populace dependent. I wish people would just go back and read for themselves. They don't have to listen to me. They go back and read the writings of Karl Marx, read the writings of Lenin, read the writings of people who were not in favor of our system and wanted to change us to their, quote, utopian society.
You know, you mentioned reading. That's surely one way to wake these people up. But a lot of those folks, they won't do that. And so I'm thinking there's got to be another way to convince them to really look and listen to what's going on in this country.
You know, all they have to do, particularly anybody who's been around for a few decades, ask themselves, do you feel freer and more independent today than you did a quarter of a century ago? Ask yourself that question in a logical fashion. If you're someone, you know, who owns a business, ask yourself, is it easier now for me to run my business? Or is it more difficult? And if you're honest, in most cases, you're going to say it's much more difficult. And then ask yourself, why is it more difficult? What has happened? Where have all these regulations come from? The government encircling everything so that if for some reason down the line they don't like you, they don't like what you're saying, they don't like what you're doing, all they do, send in the EPA or some other government regulatory agency, guess what? You violated this. Just like a few weeks ago, the last lead smelting plant in the United States was closed down. The EPA comes in. You violated this. This cost you $30 million. This cost you $50 million. This cost you $100 million. Or you could just shut down. Okay, well, you shut them down. I wonder why they would want to get rid of the lead smelting plants. Don't have to be too smart to figure that out. But, you know, this is a problem. You shut down anything you want. Now there's a lot of regulation going on amongst institutions of higher education. And, you know, if you don't comply to this or if we don't like the way you're doing such and such, no federal grants. You know, there are lots of ways to control people. This is not what we were supposed to be. And it's occurring gradually, and people aren't even noticing what's happening.
I guess we have to start by just ignoring the political correctness. That might be one way to handle it.
Absolutely. The most powerful tool they have is intimidation. And, you know, right now, Americans kind of crouch and they look around and, gee, can I say this? Can I do this? You know, that's not who we are. That's not who the people fought for. They fought for a free country.
Yep.
They gave our lives. They gave their lives for us to be free and vibrant. And when we were free and vibrant, look what happened. I mean, this place exploded from no place to the pinnacle of the world in record time.
Yep.
We need to understand that. We need to cultivate that kind of atmosphere, mm-hmm. not the atmosphere of fear and intimidation.
It is called Insidious Effects of Political Correctness. Speech taboos are meant to silence patriotic dissent. It is in today's Washington Times, and it's by Dr. Ben Carson. Folks, you really need to read this. Dr. Ben, always good to talk to you. Thank you, my friend.
You too, Andy. Take care.
1229, 1260 WRC, Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. Sarah Palin has a brand new gig. Meredith Summers knows all about it. She'll be along next, right here.